Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Memorial Auditorium, where the home fans will go home happy. It's a third straight win for Kitchener. They win all three here on home ice this week, and they finish it off in resounding fashion with a 6-1 triumph over the visiting Sudbury Wolves. This game got its first goal 8:46 in. Trent Swick's 22nd of the season from Philip Machar and Edward Chalet. It was 1-0 for the Rangers. Then Carson Rakoff with his 42nd from Matt Sopp and Philip Machar. It was 2-0 Kitchener with 1:15 to play in the first. But on a late power play in that first period, Coach Adelic would score his 19th of the season from Matthew Mania and David Goyette. It came with 9 seconds to go in the period. It was 2-1 after one. But the Rangers would score the next four in this game. In the second, it was Rakoff with his second of the game and 43rd of the season from Hunter Brustevich. It came just 27 seconds in, 3-1 Rangers. Then Hunter Brustevich from the blue line, his 11th from Antonino Pugliese and Cameron Mercer at 5:26. 4-1 Rangers, and that would spell the end of the day for Sudbury starter Jakob Vondras. He allowed 4 goals on 16 shots against, and his afternoon was finished. Marcus Vandenberg came in from there, and he was solid, but the Rangers would get to him in the third, not though until late in the third. With just over 5.5 minutes remaining, Luke Ellenis would score his 9th of the season from Matt Sopp. The goal came at 14:22. It was 5-1 Kitchener. And then while the Rangers were shorthanded, even though they were up by 4, Wolves coach Ken McKenzie pulled his goaltender to make it a 6-on-4 power play. Matt Sopp would pick off a pass near the Ranger blue line, fire for the empty net, and deposit the puck. Sopp's 34th of the season, unassisted at 15:19. So it doesn't go against Vandenberg's record. Vandenberg's line on the day would be, let me see, 1 goal against on 28 shots, or on 18 shots, pardon me. Not bad for Vandenberg after Vondras would beat 4 times on 16 shots. But the Rangers win this one going away, 6-1 the final, and that's despite going 0-for on the power play again. 0-for-4 were the Rangers on the Channers power play. Sudbury goes 1-for-5. The Rangers win the game 6-1. Your post-game show is brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. We continue post-game coverage from the Memorial Auditorium. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Rangers beat the Sudbury Wolves 6-1. Paul Fixter, ringside.
Thanks, Mike. I'm at ice level with head coach UC Ahokas. And coach, what kind of a statement game is that for your club in front of 7,000 plus here, and knowing what happened when we were up in Sudbury about a month ago?
Well, I thought today we were on our game right away from the start. Two first goals, good drives to the net, like showing we want to go to the hard areas. A lot of goals, so we had net presence there. We're shooting pucks. And what I liked, like when we went 4-1, we didn't stop playing. We defended well. We didn't really give that much. So one mistake in the PK, but otherwise, really solid game from the whole team.
How has the team found its goal scoring again? Like the last few games here, the goals have been coming nicely.
Well, if you drive to the net, usually good things happen. We're a little bit trying to do a little bit too fancy, playing high to high. We didn't have a driver, and then we've been really emphasizing it now in practice and talking about it. And it's a good thing you get the result when you do the right things.
Being at home here, winning these games at home, is just nice to be back in this rink in front of the fans and take advantage of this homestand?
Well, yeah, it's we have the best fans in the league, and it's our home barn. we want to be great here, and that's how it should be always when we play over here. Like, it has to be a hard building to play for the other teams to come to play against us.
Jackson Parsons has been on a pretty good roll here for you. Just your comments on his play, Coach.
I think it's been going better. Well, we need him to be in now. He had a great game all the time. It's been going, and we want him hot when the playoffs start.
Just last question I have for you is, the power play's been a little bit off. Is that a concern to you, or you just keep working at it and eventually it'll come out of its funk?
Well, I would say if Rakov would score to the empty netter, it would be a little bit different. No, it's getting better. I thought it was a couple games already. We haven't really had that much power play time, but yeah, it'll get there. It's already looking a lot better. We had good looks even today. Messar had a great chance. Razor had the empty netter. I think it's going to fall in just great.
As always, appreciate a few minutes of your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. UC Ahokas post-game thoughts following a 6-1 Ranger victory over the visiting Sudbury Wolves. Post-game coverage brought to you by USave Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
Who blew a call? Who left it all out on the ice? Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter. Break it down on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers put up a big number. 6 goals again, now in back-to-back games after a 6-5 overtime win on Friday night. The Rangers win it over Sudbury this afternoon, 6-1 the final. As we take a look, waiting for our player guest to come out from the Rangers room, we'll look at your Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. Check out their full list of services at leiboldelectric.com. In St. Catharines, the Brantford Bulldogs built up an early lead, never looked back. Jake O'Brien with a pair of goals, Florian Jacki with another. The Bulldogs, a 5-1 win over Niagara this afternoon. In North Bay, the Saginaw Spirit also got up early. The Battalion would battle back, but Saginaw would hang on for the 5-3 victory over the Battalion in North Bay today. Josh Bloom with a couple of goals for the Spirit. Zane Parekh, Roddy Dionizio, and Ethan Hay the others. So Saginaw avenges its loss to this Sudbury club on Friday night and wins this afternoon in North Bay. And Windsor and Sault Ste. Marie got underway just after 4 this afternoon. They're coming up on the end of the first period, and that game still awaits its first goal. Sudbury, of course, a big 8-2 winner in London on Friday night. They ended the Knights 21-0-0-2 run. 21 victories, 2 shootout losses over 23 games for the Knights. The shootout losses coming to Peterborough and Erie on the same weekend, but 23 games without a regulation loss for London. Sue hands them the 8-2 loss on Friday night, and the Hounds looking for another one this afternoon, but they're scoreless in Windsor late in the first. Your out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by Leibold Electric. Let's get back downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. I'm at ice level with a pretty jubilant Matthew Sopp, tonight's first star. Matt, you got your 34th of the year and 2 assists. How good does that win feel for the team?
Yeah, I mean, that was an overall great win for our squad. I thought we battled the whole game, and, you know, we didn't let them get back into it, so I was really happy with our game today.
Did you guys talk about what happened up in Sudbury the last time we were there with that game and how it got away, or did you just moved on and you don't even worry about it?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we just kind of move on right away, but we know in the back of our mind, I mean, in between the second and third, we made sure to stay sharp and know what these guys can do offensively, because they're a great offensive team. So, you know, we knew what they could do, but we played a well defensive game.
What kind of a statement game is that for the club? This team just beat Saginaw, the Memorial Cup host. They just beat them 6-3, and you guys turn around and beat them 6-1. What's that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely means a lot, but, you know, that's the kind of team we are, and I think I'll say it again, we're a winning hockey team, and no matter what, no matter who the team is, we're going to look at the game as we can win it. So,
Matt, I have to ask you a little bit about the power play. You're a big part of it. What is it going to take to get the power play scoring goals?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're getting our chances. It'll come. I mean, we have so many great players that can score goals on that, so it's only a matter of time before it comes.
The lines have been changed a little bit here in the last while. Are you enjoying the new line mates?
Yeah, I love playing with Razor and Missile. I think, you know, we have chemistry right away. You know, Razor finds open ice really well, finds me too. Missile is a dog on the puck always, and, you know, I think we work really well together, so it was fun.
I might as well ask you on the power play chance there that Razor had with the open net. Did Vandenberg get across and make that save, or do you know?
No, I think that was a rare miss by Razor, but he knows it too, so it's all good. He usually buries those.
It just dawned on me too with the play where you had the open net, and did his hand close on the puck, or was it just a push? Was it the right call?
I mean, I ripped the ref after, but I think he probably made the right call. I mean, I was in the moment, and obviously I'm going to say what I said, but I think it's the right call at the end of the day.
Appreciate a few minutes of your time. Thank you, and congrats on the great win. Go get him tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Matt Sopp, understandably excited after scoring his 34th of the season in the Rangers' 6-1 victory here this afternoon over the visiting Sudbury Wolves. A quick break, your three stars and your phone calls coming up on Rangers Talk. Post-game coverage brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by USave Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
A 6-1 win for the Kitchener Rangers here this afternoon. Their third in a row, handing the Wolves their first regulation loss in six. Let's take a look at your three stars for this game. Three stars, a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Third star of this game with a goal and an assist, Rangers defenseman Hunter Brustevich. The second star with two goals and oh so close to a hat trick, as you heard Matt Sopp say a moment ago. Razor, Carson Rakoff, doesn't miss those ones too often, but he missed on this occasion. Still, a two-goal performance and a second-star effort for Carson Rakoff this afternoon. And then Matt Sopp with a goal, two assists, and really was creating all kinds of chances on the ice today. A deserving star number one for the Rangers overager and Kitchener native. So your three stars, it's a Rangers sweep and a 6-1 win. Sopp, Rakoff, and Brustevich, the three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Back for a quick wrap-up, and then to your phone calls on Rangers Talk. This is post-game coverage for USave Flooring on City News 570. Welcome back inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. The Rangers 6, the Wolves 1. And Paul Fixter, not only does that avenge what happened to Kitchener when they were in Sudbury a month and a half ago, but you could not have asked for a better script over these three home games for the Rangers this week. Just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, they took advantage of being at home. They look like a different team, Mike, that's finding their scoring again. And as we've said, that's without scoring on the power play, which is quite incredible. That's a real statement game today for me, and I think Sudbury was off a little bit, but Kitchener just laid it on them. And the first 10 minutes of the game, I thought, oh, boy, this Sudbury team is good. And then it's like they had just played 3-3 or something, because they just completely changed, and Kitchener just built upon that and, in the end, throttled them, quite honestly.
I think it's a great point that this Sudbury team, and it's unfortunate we don't get to see them more, but what we saw from them in their barn back in early January was much different. A team that's got 9 wins in 11 games and points in 10 of those 11 didn't look like that team here today. For the Kitchener Rangers now, Paul, they have really set themselves up well at a spot in the schedule where there are points available. The next two games, Peterborough tomorrow and then Sarnia on Friday night, winnable on paper. The challenge becomes keeping these guys focused and picking up important points.
Yeah, you still have to go out and play the game. And, you know, Peterborough just had a win the other night against Kingston. And Kingston has a pretty decent hockey club. And Peterborough, who had only had 2 wins in 22 games or something like that, you know, they pulled one off against Kingston. So it's the unpredictability of this league. You think back to when Niagara Falls came in here or Niagara Ice Dogs came in here, and, you know, you think, oh, that's a winnable game, and Kitchener loses. So you still have to go and play the games. Don't look too far ahead. Enjoy this game, get on the bus, and then be ready to play tomorrow.
The Kitchener Rangers would love to look ahead far enough to the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. Believe you me, the Rangers would love to get past the Greyhounds and into third place in this conference. That's going to be a tall but not impossible order. And then with these 2 points today, they put Owen Sound and Guelph further in the rearview mirror. And dare I say, it will be very difficult for either the Attack or the Storm to catch the Rangers for fourth at this point. We'll talk more about that during Rangers Talk as we're going to get into your calls right now. How are you feeling, Rangers Nation? Three wins in a row for Kitchener. The offense seems to be coming back. If you're concerned about anything, maybe be concerned about the power play, because it is struggling and struggling mightily. We'll take a quick break and open up the phone lines at 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Rangers win it 6-1 over Sudbury. Post-game coverage for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570. Six times we got to hear that Rangers goal song this afternoon as Kitchener rolled over Sudbury 6-1. And as the first period comes to an end in Windsor, it is the Spitfires who grab the lead on a goal by former Sudbury Wolf Jabril Touré. It's 1-0 Spits over Sault Ste. Marie. I do not want to get too far ahead of anything. We know how good Sault Ste. Marie is. But as things stand right now, with the Ranger victory this afternoon, they jump up to 70 points, which is three back of Sault Ste. Marie and seven back of the Saginaw Spirit. 11 of London, if you want to get that far into it. But still, honestly, Paul, Sault Ste. Marie within striking distance, especially with one more game head-to-head coming up next Sunday.
That's a long ways to go to play one game, but if you're going to go, why not go win it?
Sure. Absolutely. Up ahead for Kitchener, Peterborough tomorrow, then Sarnia, then the Sioux, and then London. So look out. That's a couple of tough ones back-to-back.
Yeah, they've made hay with the schedule that they have right now. And, you know, the games are going to get tougher, as we know, with Sioux and London, what have you. But they've won these games. And Mississauga is no pushover. Sudbury was a pushover, but they shouldn't be. So something was off with them today. That's a better club than we saw. Two shots in the third period. That's just incredible. That, I mean, Kitchener played very well. I'm not taking anything away from Kitchener, but Sudbury was off.
519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Cody, you're up first on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Farwell. Hey, Fixter. Happy Sunday, boys.
Thanks, Cody. You too.
Oh, man. What can I say? Rangers today, oh my god, 6-1. I've never seen them do this, you know, like since that big run in the first half.
This seems like it's been a long time between games that have been this convincing for Kitchener. That's true.
Oh yeah, but Sopp, Rakoff, and Brustevich, those three stars, like, I would give an honorable star, like, if there were four stars in that game, I would say the fourth star would go to Jackson Parsons.
No, for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, he could have been a, you know what? Maybe you should pick the stars. Like, it's a thankless job. It really is, because I would actually rather see go player of the game for both teams. Done.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Like, player of the game for both teams and move on.
Yeah.
You know? It's not like the old days where they used to get the Brute Pack and all that, you know, like the whatever, or the Molson Cup three stars. And I think it's past its... It's past its
due date. Yeah, we could use a refreshing for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just want to say good game out there, and safe travels to Peterborough tomorrow, because I heard it's supposed to be cold up there.
Thanks, Cody. Appreciate that. Good thing that the cars and the buses all have heaters these days. You speak of the three stars, Paul, and Flint was a 3-2 winner over Windsor in overtime yesterday, and the Firebirds got all three stars, which is kind of hard to imagine in an overtime game, and that had some folks on the Windsor side upset, but as you said, it's a thankless job, and sometimes home teams just favor the home players, and they think it's only a one team on the ice. To your point, let's just do away with it and go to a star, a player of the game for
player of the game for both.
Easy
enough. Like, I think that's, and then, you know, nobody's feelings are hurt and all that stuff. Whatever. Just player of the game.
Player of the game. Player of the game today might have been Matt Sopp for sure. And on the other side, maybe you give a nod to Marcus Vandenberg, who came in cold and was able to hold back the Rangers, who had been flying. But 6-1, the Rangers win it here this afternoon. We go next to Evan on Rangers Talk. Hi, Evan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
I wasn't at the game again tonight, but because I've been at a hockey tournament all weekend. So, but great game overall, even though I wasn't there. 6-1, the final. That's great. Shout out to the Rangers. As I was getting dressed, one of my teammates was telling me the score. And then by the time I got off, it was already 6-1 Rangers.
How did your tournament go, Evan?
Well, we lost three and tied one.
All right. Well, you didn't lose them all. How about that?
Yeah, there's a given to that.
All right, Evan, appreciate the call. Fans understandably happy, Paul, when they see the Rangers put up the offense that they have been. And that is, you know, we've talked about the power play, and we can talk more about that here during Rangers Talk. But it's good to see the offense starting to come back around. 4-6-6 on this three-game homestand.
Back-to-back nights of six, yeah. And it's kind of spread out. You know, Elenis scores tonight, and Brstavage's look good again, and it's just. And I thought that was one of Chalet's better games. He played with a little bit more compete and took the puck to the net
twice. Yeah. We saw him drive the net.
Yeah, drove the net, and maybe Seattle management needs to follow us around. And
there was plenty of that in the house today.
Yeah, well, they had every reason with three players in today's game. So if that's what it takes, we just need to whisper in Chalet's ear every game that Seattle's in the house.
It might just be the magic elixir. Okay, we continue on Rangers Talk. Over to Grant. Hi, Grant, you're on Rangers Talk.
Yeah, good day. I'll talk about Friday's game. They didn't look all that great.
Hang on, Grant, sorry. Yep. But, like, we just finished a game here. Can we talk about this game, please?
Well, I didn't see it. I can't see it. It wasn't televised.
Yeah, but you listened to us, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, every game's on the radio, Grant.
Nobody draws a better picture than Mike.
All right, well, I guess I can do that. It sounded like that they weren't exactly there in the first period, but then the second period from Mr. Fixture, it sounded like that they got back into the groove, and it was good that I think it was the second period that they scored a couple minutes into the period, and then they seemed to be, like Mr. Fixture said, they seemed to play a lot better as the periods came along. The third period, they seemed to play better. Is that not correct?
It seemed like Kitchener got better and Sudbury maybe got a little less interested as the game went on.
And they actually scored 27 seconds into the second period.
Yeah.
Like Rakoff scored. And I think, well, you talk about the first, second, they scored 2-2-2. So it was two in the first, two in the second, two in the third. And they just got better and better as the game went along. Much like all these games, I think, they've as the games have gone along, they've gotten better. You know, the other one had to go to overtime, but... I thought tonight the first 10 minutes was Sudbury, and then after that, it was all Rangers.
Grant, what was your concern with Friday night before we move on?
They just seemed to be... There was not 100% effort. They were kind of lucky to get a point out of that. you know, in my my opinion. But it from today's game, it sounded like it was a bump up of an effort from Friday.
Right? All right, Grant, appreciate the call. Good to hear from you this afternoon. Paul, look, I think fans would be understandably frustrated when you don't hold a three-goal lead. But you and I alluded to this, I think it was during the Harris Law pregame show. You had been texting with James James Richmond, the head coach GM in Mississauga, and, you know, that's junior hockey. It's the kind of game, no lead is ever really safe. The Rangers led 4-1 in Sudbury back on January the 5th and lost the game.
Yeah, and you're right, Mike. And in James's words, he said it's just crazy. It's crazy junior hockey. And what Sudbury did in that game up there to get back in it, they came out with a physical presence. They ran everybody. They kind of took over the game physically and then were able to score goals. But some of their high-end players just didn't look like they were high-end today. Like Goyette, who's leading the league in scoring, he's got 86 points in 53 games now. I know he got an assist tonight, so he's up to 87, but he didn't look like the player that's leading the league in scoring. It just looked like a different team, and they had an off night for whatever reason, be it the flu, be it whatever. They had an off night, and Kitchener took advantage of that.
And the physicality absolutely was not there. That game we saw in Sudbury, it felt like you were going into the northern country, you know, and this is how we play up here. There was no sign of that today.
Zero. And the one player they traded at the trade deadline there, the big defenseman, I forget his name now.
He went Toure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a physical presence that game. And, I mean, I don't know, he's almost 7 feet, whatever, he's six foot, whatever. And he's not in this lineup anymore. But, I mean, they have some big bodies. And this is a team that, if they're going to come out of the East, they'll bring that physical presence, no question. They're a heavy team.
Rangers win it 6-1 here on home ice this afternoon. We'll take a quick break. Quinn, Sean, hang on. Steven, you too. We'll be back with more calls on Rangers Talk. This is City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Say Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, the Kitchener Rangers get two goals from Carson Rakoff. A goal and two helpers from Matt Sopp and two assists from Philip Machar. All part of a 6-1 win over the Sudbury Wolves here this afternoon. And Sudbury loses its grip on first place in the Eastern Conference, thanks to the loss today. The Brantford Bulldogs, winners on the road in St. Catharines, move back into a tie for first at 68 points with Sudbury in the East. And Paul, the way we saw this game start, it seemed all to be inside the Rangers' blue line. The way it started, it looked like it could have been a much different afternoon for Kitchener.
The first 12 minutes, I'd say 10 minutes was played in the Kitchener zone, and Kitchener was turning the puck over. They were getting beat to loose pucks. They made some ill-advised decisions trying to exit the defensive zone. And then something changed. We scored. That's what changed. then took control of the game, and it's like Sudbury lost interest in playing. Sort of like what Richmond said the other night, players lose interest at some point in the season. It's like they lost interest in this game after they got down 2-0. They made it 2-1, so they were right back in it. But their goaltending was off. Both Vandenberg played well, but their goaltending wasn't great, and I guess that's why they made the change. But credit to Kitchener. They just found a way to get through that first 10 minutes and then be the better team for the next 50. I mean, to outshoot a team 15-2 in the third period, it's unheard of.
And the team down by three, and they only muster two shots on goal.
Yeah, so even if they, like, to your point, even if they did score, they're still not winning.
Yeah.
Like, and they were cheating. They were blowing the zone, trying to get that, you know, they didn't look very good.
Jakob Vondras started in goal for Sudbury, was pulled after allowing four goals on 16 shots against. When the Rangers played in Sudbury, Marcus Vandenberg, their former teammate, started. He was beaten four times on 10 shots. The Rangers were up 4-1, and that one turned around on Kitchener. They lost that one 7-5. But the Rangers win it 6-1 here this afternoon. Let's get back to your calls on Rangers Talk. Quinn, it's your turn.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Quinn.
I just have a quick question. Do you guys know if Tanner Lamb was just a healthy scratch or if he's injured?
He was a healthy scratch. And what they've been doing, it's a good question, what they've been doing since the team has become healthy is rotating between Matthias Stark, Luca Romano, and Tanner Lamb. And it's not that neither of them, any of them, are not playing well. It's just every third game, somebody has to sit out because it's a healthy team. We have healthy bodies. And as a coach, that's a great situation to be in because it forces your players, once they get in, to play the best they can. So they know they're going to get back in there. If they're not playing well, then you make it easy. So when you get in there, and Tanner Lamb scored against Guelph the other night, so it's not like he's playing poorly. It's just coach's decision.
Quinn, great question. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. It gives us an opportunity to talk about two more things here, Paul. Adrian Misiljevic left this game in the first period. We did not see him after, so maybe that changes things in the lineup tomorrow in Peterborough. We don't know what ails Adrian Misiljevic. I personally didn't see anything happen, so whatever happened was outside of my eyesight, and we just know he didn't come back.
Yeah, and I was going to ask Coach Ahokas post-game, but you know they're not going to tell you anyways. So, and I didn't see anything, you know, terrible that happened to him. So maybe he's got the flu bug too, Mike, and it just wasn't up to playing. I don't know, because I didn't see anything in the game that would think that he suffered an injury. But I would think with a quick turnaround, we play at 2 o'clock tomorrow, they would keep him at home. And Quinn's friend there, Tanner Lamb, will probably get in.
There you go. Stark was in the lineup today. Romano was in the lineup today. Lamb out, but possibly, dare I say at this point, likely in tomorrow. No timeline still on Mitch Martin's return. The timeline for the longest time was early in the new year, end of January, and here we are now past the midpoint of February and still no sign of Mitch Martin.
Interesting, Mitchell being from Sudbury, Coach Ken McKenzie, who, you know, I know from my time up with the Wolves, was asking about Mitchell Martin and what's his status and stuff, and all I could say to him was, you know, Ken, you probably know as much as we do. It's lower body, and it's, week to week, I guess, but not this week.
Coming up on 40 games that Mitch Martin has missed.
Yeah, it's a long time, and we're getting, today was game 55. We only go to 68, so do the math.
I wondered about the blue line for the Rangers, Paul, because with Cameron Reed back in the lineup, now there's almost the same opportunity on the blue line as there is up front. You talk about Romano, Stark, Lamb kind of rotating through. Good problem for the coach to have, or a good situation. Carson Campbell did not draw back in today, but I think maybe there's an opportunity there on the blue line with Savard, Carson Campbell, Max Diracolo to maybe be moved around a little bit.
I think Diracolo he's a physical player, and I think Kitchener expected more physicality out of Sudbury today. Carson Campbell plays with grit and determination too, so and that's what's expected of Savard. But I think Max Diracolo has really endeared himself to this staff, and he's doing, you talk about farm boy strength, that's a good strength to have, because you can turn that into hockey strength with some training with Brandon Murley and the staff here. But he is a strong kid, and he's a physical presence out there. Carson Campbell's going to get back in the lineup for sure, and there probably will be a rotation as we move forward. But it's really hard to change a winning lineup, eh? Like, it's, you know, when we're talking about 12 forwards, that's different than talking about six defensemen. You know, there's a big difference there. When your decor is playing well, which they are, It's hard to change.
6-1, the Rangers win it over Sudbury here this afternoon. We continue on Rangers Talk. Sean, you're on City News 570. Hello, Sean.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, oh, hey. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, you know, three great games. We won three games. And it's really good to see that the boys are actually, you know, taking shots on goal. And that's how you get the points. Am I right or wrong?
Well, you can't score if you don't shoot. You're absolutely
exactly
right.
and they're doing that the last three games. They've been taking all those shots, and you know, and that's why we're winning these games, as far as I'm concerned. You know, and it's good to see that, and that's what we need to do to win more games. Is just keep taking those shots.
27, 41, and 35.
Pretty good average.
See, there we go.
Those are good numbers.
She's got to keep it up. Keep it up. And I will forgive you, Paul, on your last question on the fixes in.
You know, I when I said that, so I went 2 for 3. That's not bad. I'll take 2 for 3 every night. I didn't expect Kitchener to win, and I was brutally honest with it. But I also said, I hope I'm wrong. You know?
Yes. I heard you.
Yeah. Paul, Sean, you just keep him honest. Attaboy. Yeah. Like, I like this.
Well, I was just, when I heard that, I said, no, Paul, they're going to win today. They are going to win. And I had a really good, strong feeling that they were going to win, and they did. So, you know, and I listened to you, and I'm just kind of, I listened to you before the game starts. I'm at the game. I'm just coming home from the game now. So I'm at the game. But I listened to your pregame because I love it. And then I watched the game. When you said, you know, I don't think Kitchener's going to win, I'm like, no, Paul, that's you're wrong.
I appreciate the kind words.
I forgive you.
Thanks. And the other thing is,
usually you're bang on.
The other thing I appreciate is being called out when you're wrong, and I was wrong. I was flat out wrong. Not only did they not lose, They kicked them in the behind pretty good, and deserved a win. So I'm glad you called me out on that, and I'm really happy for the club to win, because bottom line is I'm a fan too, but I just didn't see this happening. And yeah. You know, good on the Rangers.
Well, and you know what, and I kind of understand where you were coming from too, because you know, again, we are, Sudbury is a good, they're a kick-ass team. You know, you were going out on, you know, on the limb on saying that, but. You know, I'm glad they won 6-1. You know, we won, we did it, and you know, that's good. I'm just letting you know that, you know, maybe next time think a little harder.
All right, Sean, thanks. Really appreciate that call, and I love Fixie, that the fix is in has become the institution it is on our Harris Law pregame show. You were 2 for 3 here today. You said correctly the Rangers would get 3 or more power play opportunities. Kitchener finished with 4. You did say that the Rangers would keep Sudbury to under 5 goals. They sure as heck did that. And this is a team that's averaging 5 per game over its last 10. So good on the Rangers in that department. But you did think the Wolves would come away victorious, and they most certainly did not. But we have fun with the fixes in during our pregame show every day.
And apparently people are listening because they're calling me out.
And that's what we like to hear. The Rangers called out the Eastern Conference's best today. A 6-1 rout, Rangers over the Wolves. Rangers Talk continues. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. This is City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Rangers, a 6-1 win over Sudbury here on home ice this afternoon. And as we continue with Rangers Talk here at the Memorial Auditorium, what a great sight down in front of us, Paul. The fans getting the opportunity to take a skate here on the big ice. Now, when I was a kid, the annex still existed kind of in behind here where Jack Couch Park is, and that's where we would usually get. There used to be free skating on Wednesday afternoons. I would come after school, and if we ever got the chance to be out here on this ice surface at the Memorial Auditorium, what a treat. So we've got several dozen people down on the ice having a real treat here this afternoon.
Including 3 that are just learning to skate. They're using a little device to help them stand up. And, Mike, you talk about the annex. We're going to a building tomorrow where the corners are square. There weren't any corners more square than in the annex. I remember playing in there as a kid, and how they used to clean the ice. There was no Zamboni. They used to pull those oil drums, remember, with the rags in behind?
You betcha. Yeah.
That's going back.
And it was like a chain link fence for glass, if you want to call it that, but to keep the pucks in play. Square corners, good memory and reminder of what we're going to see at the Peterborough Memorial Center tomorrow. Okay, let's get back to the phones after this 6-1 Ranger victory here this afternoon. Steven, you're next on Rangers Talk.
Well, my friends, how are you?
We're good, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with Fixie a little bit there. It's not quite the contest I thought would happen, especially the first period there when it seemed like Sudbury was all over Kitchener. And then, you know, Kitchener got the two goals, which is great, and then gave up the away one. But good credit, second period, come flying out, get two more back. And I think after that, for whatever reason, Sudbury had their white flags in their hands and didn't do much after that.
You know, Paul, it gets me thinking, maybe in this case the goaltending change was just that, a feeling of surrender as opposed to the inspiration, which it sometimes is. When Sudbury got that goal in the final seconds of the first period on the power play, it's a one-goal game going into the second. As the road team, you don't feel too bad about that.
No, you're right. But then to start the second with 27 seconds in to score, and then 5 minutes later at 5:26, well, that's when the goaling change was made. But yeah, maybe it was a surrender, white flag. I don't know. I keep saying the same thing, but I just expected more out of Sudbury tonight. Well, I really did. And maybe, Mike, the flu is impacting a lot more players than we know.
What else you thinking, yeah. Steven?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, whether it be sickness or whatnot, everybody has off days. So, you know, I guess we got lucky in that sense. But I would just think... Oh, of course. I don't want to sound like a repeat, but the power play has got to find a way eventually to get going. And penalty-wise, I think discipline. Remember Coach Hokus saying some of those stupid penalties, you know, being high-sticking, and especially slashing when they're far from the plate, you know. You're just rolling the dice asking for disaster. But other than that, so far so good this game. And here, Morrill, our boss at work, has rented a private box at the Sweeman Center. Right? So I can see the
You get to see the same team
around me. Yeah. No doubt I can see them. I can see the Storm fans around me. Depending on what happens, I can either say, hey, you know what? We softened them up for you, right?
Exactly.
Or if Sudbury wakes up and does to them, you know, to Guelph what we did, oh, see, I guess we just pissed them off. But... Anyhow, all right, guys, have a great afternoon, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steven. Appreciate the call. You know, for whatever reason, we don't get to see Sudbury a lot, but the Sudbury team we saw in Sudbury, obviously not the team we saw here today. Given the fact they're running tops in the East and on a real run right now, you expected something different. For whatever reason, it wasn't Sudbury's day. The Rangers will take it. They got the 2 points. That's what matters. To the point that Steven made about the penalties the Rangers took, you talked about these much earlier in the season, Paul, and you had an acronym that we won't say, but you spell it out with me. Slashing, high sticking, interference, tripping. You put those four together, you can figure out what it spells. Only one of the Rangers' penalties today was not in that category. It was a cross-check. So maybe the kinds of things you need to stay away from.
Well, and in the offensive zone too,
yeah.
Like those are going to bite you, Mike. You're going to shoot yourself in the foot if you take those types of penalties. And yes, that acronym was something that we used to use as a team to stay away from those types of. We'll kill the roughing penalties and the, you know, the whatever, but not those that you just described. They're more difficult to kill, and they're the ones that usually are needless. You know, tripping and hooking and slashing and interference. You know, like they're just not good penalties to take. And we keep getting back to the penalty kill's been good.
It's been
really good.
Only one for five today.
But it's the power play. You know, now the coach said they're getting more chances. They're seeing better opportunities. They're pleased with it. At the end of the day, you need results from it, too.
You absolutely do. And it's been a real rough spot for the Rangers. Count this game. And I only went back 10. I think it gets equally ugly the further back we go. But now, after today's game, 4 for their past 40 are the Rangers on the power play. And we're down to 13 games to go in this regular season. When the playoffs roll around, you need, absolutely need, to have your special teams working.
Yeah, because you're in tight games,
yeah.
By and large. One-goal games for the most part. You're not seeing 6-1 games in the playoffs, historically anyways, traditionally.
The only Sudbury goal comes courtesy of the power play today in a 6-1 Ranger victory. Let's go back to the phones. Jim, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jim.
I just wanted to say that I started watching the Rangers games and going to the games a long time ago when my dad used to take me. And back then, they were using the shovels and oil drums on the ice. There was no Zamboni. That was in the other one.
Those were the days. Those were the days.
I have one other comment. I think it's, today's game was great. It was very exciting. I think the team's starting to put things back together and come back. I have one pet peeve, and that is that every time they come out on the ice at the beginning of a period, they look lazy. The other teams all come on the ice, and they're coming out, and they're stepping up on the ice, and they're zooming around there. But we come out, and most of our guys are just kind of coming out slow and lazy. And I'd like to see some more excitement and some more energy when they step onto the ice, like they're there to fight.
All right, Jim, interesting. Yep, interesting observation. Appreciate the call. You know what it reminds me of, Paul? It reminds me of something that Don Cameron said years back, and I hadn't even noticed, but Jim obviously looks for certain things. Don used to get a little bit chafed when the visiting team, and it almost always happens still, comes on the ice first for the pregame warm-up. He's like, this is your barn. Get out on the ice first. Make sure they see you when they come on the ice. Anyway, I don't know how much emphasis, if any, is placed on that, but Jim seems to think there's not enough urgency.
Yeah, well, interesting observation. That being said, you know, the game against Mississauga, they scored 29 seconds into the period and 34 seconds into the second period. And tonight we know they scored 27 seconds into the second period. So the one thing I have noticed with the Rangers when they come on to start a period is they all five guys seem to be talking about something that's going to happen. Like they're not just skating around aimlessly. They are. We've seen them as a unit talking about whatever, you know, whatever they're talking about. So you know, interesting. I guess you need to be ready once the puck is dropped. And for the most part, they have been. Maybe they should come flying out of a cannon or something.
You know what it is? Like, and I totally get this because I feel where Jim is coming from. I've never paid attention to it from up here. We've got so many other things going on. But I think we, just as fans of sports, want everybody to be Rudy. You remember when Rudy led the Notre Dame onto the field?
Well, absolutely. This might be my favorite movie all time.
Sure.
And we were just at an NFL playoff game, and they come flying out of the tunnel there with all the hoopla and stuff. I don't know. Hockey's maybe a little bit different in that regard. I guess as a coach, if my team is ready to play once the puck drops, I'm happy. How we get out there,
further down your list of priorities.
Yeah.
All right. Rangers win at 6-1 here over Sudbury this afternoon. We continue with Rangers Talk for You Save Flooring. You're listening to City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Rangers get a couple of goals from Carson Rakoff, who's still trying to keep pace with my boy Austin Matthews. Matthews back-to-back hat tricks for the Leafs. He's got 48 in the show. Rakoff now at 43 here in the O. Leads the Rangers second in the league in goals scored. Kitchener beats Sudbury today. 6-1. The final here at the Memorial Auditorium. Let's get right back to the phones here on Rangers Talk. Eddie, it is your turn.
Hey, I called in right when I said I would.
Uh-huh. I'm going to start calling you Johnny Come Lately instead of Eddie. You want to make me work late every single day.
Come on, you got to earn that paycheck. Let's go.
Yeah, what paycheck?
Hey, it's good to see the offense has been rolling these past few games. Also, just like the penalty kill, like you guys were mentioning earlier, has been good. What can I say? I think everyone said it already. The power play needs to get going. That's the one thing I've been noticing even through this three-game win streak. The power play needs to get going.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And, Paul, I don't really know what the answer to that is. There's been lots of talk from Matt Sopp, head coach Jussi Ahokas, about the chances, the looks the team is getting, but the results aren't there. Do you change it up? Do you start pounding pucks from the blue line? I don't know what the answer is.
I would.
Yeah.
I would change things because what they're doing isn't working, but I don't coach the team. That's Karakas's, that's his job. And whatever he's doing, he believes in. And they have good personnel.
They do.
They have really good personnel out there. They had some good looks today for sure, and they had some chances. But ultimately, you want to get results, and the results aren't there right now. But they must believe in what they're doing. There was some really good movement, though, and good puck retrieval. Like, I can think of the one power play in the second period where they retrieved every puck. Every puck, loose pucks in the corner, whatever, they got it. So there's an urgency there. There's a hunger there, and hopefully they start scoring the goals, and then this is a really lethal team again.
Yeah. Eddie, you mentioned when I saw you during the second intermission today that you think things line up pretty well for a bit of an extended winning streak here. It's already at three games.
You know, I was just about to mention that. You were telling me to pump the brakes earlier. I'm not going to pump the brakes. I think it's 5-3 tomorrow in Peterborough. I don't think the pizza will bring. They'll bring a bit, but they won't bring enough.
How are they going to get three? I can see the five.
They'll figure it out. I don't know. You know what? Like, Rangers will go up 5-1. They'll let in a few, you know, late ones, like 5-6 minutes left. They'll take their foot off the gas a little.
It's bold. Eddie's got some bold predictions here today.
Yep.
I'm out on that, Eddie.
I'll take a Motu goal too. I'll call that one right now.
All right. We'll let them know when we get to Peterborough tomorrow. It's good to hear from you, Edward. Stay well, my friend.
Yep. You too.
All right. Bye. Thank you. I was giving Eddie a bit of a hard time because, look, and I think one of the challenges, Paul, and did we mention this just before you went downstairs? Either way, the next two games line up really well for this Rangers Hockey Club. It's already a three-game streak. Peterborough, Sarnia, could be five. You just got to keep these guys dialed in, focused against teams that on paper they should be able to beat.
Yeah. They do, Mike, but I keep going back to the Niagara game earlier this year when I would have predicted a blowout win for Kitchener because Kitchener was flying at that point too. They were really playing well, and you know we ended up losing that. Vandenberg was outstanding. Winnable games for sure, but every game is also losable.
Yeah, like, and you know what? There are good goaltenders around this league,
yeah.
And a hot goaltender can make a big difference. All right, let's go back to the phones. Jeffrey, you are on Rangers Talk.
Hey, guys. It was a good win today. Really good game, I thought, from Philip Machar again. Just seems to be getting better every game, especially that second goal when he drove the net and then Sopp cleaned up the mess there. That was really good. I'd like to see that for sure. But just a couple, like two questions and a quick comment. You guys were mentioning about the trio of Seattle draft picks, which is really cool, right? You got scouts in the stands and all that cool stuff. I was trying to rack my brain a little bit, trying to remember, and I couldn't really come up with a trio. Can you guys remember a trio in the OHL, like a forwards on the same team that were all drafted and played together for a season, like to an NHL team, and how they made out doing it? I couldn't think of that. I know there's been lots of duos, but I just don't know about three people all on the first line. And lastly, you brought up Don Cameron, and it seems like they're not doing Potato Night again. Potato Night for Don Cameron. And then just lastly, watching the game sometimes, guys, and syncing it with your radio is really good. But the upper stanchion there, when Steve Binkowski and those guys did the renovations, and they couldn't take out that stanchion that you guys see sometimes when you're calling the game, because obviously it holds up the whole structure. Does that ever get in your guys' way or anything, or does any of the other commentators ever remark on all we... Or is your guys' vantage point up there good and it doesn't really bother you? Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Jeffrey. Appreciate the call. Let's start at the trio of draft picks. I don't recall. I mean, it's possible that it's happened, but I would be hard-pressed to come up with the answer to that.
No, I certainly can't off the top of my head. The one comment I'll have to that, though, is I remember this going back a number of years ago. The Toronto Maple Leafs, I believe their first three draft picks were all from the Belleville Bulls. Scott Pearson,
yep.
The defenseman. And
it's going to drive me nuts.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean?
Was Dan Quinn one of those? I think. That's way before. No, it might not have been before.
But yeah, it was Scotty Pearson was for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember the joke was, did the Toronto scouts not make it past Belleville that year?
Oh, yeah.
But I can't
think. Same draft class.
Same team.
Yeah, same team.
Yeah, that's what made me think of that. I can't think of a trio. I mean, that would be unheard of, really. But I just want to. He mentioned about Philip Machar playing well today. Do you think there's starting to become a chemistry with Machar and Chalet playing together? Because they've played a few games here now, and they seem to be connecting to some extent.
It's funny you mention that, Paul, because I felt that way too, but I also felt, for some reason, like they were trying to get one for Chalet today. It's almost like he was the one on two goals. They're trying to get him the hat trick, but there seemed to me to be an awful lot of deferring to Chalet. I want to get him the puck and give him the chance. Chalet had a nice game. We talked about it already. A couple of times we saw him drive the net, etc. He was definitely involved and engaged. It seemed to me like Machar was looking for him all day.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're right. But Phillip sees the ice so well. He's got great vision. He makes you better be ready to receive a pass when you're on the ice with him, because it's coming when you don't expect it. And we were able to see that great play, Mike, because our vantage point up here is fantastic. There are no obstructed views. So we see Philip Machar and Edward Chalet make those great plays, because this renovation that they've done is absolutely outstanding. And this is one of the best vantage points, maybe the best in the league. Like, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
The space we have and, no.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We get our own area, which is always preferred, because sometimes you're so crowded into a broadcast area, it makes it more difficult to do the job, as you've learned doing it for the first time this year, Paul. But the work environment can be challenging for sure.
Yeah. No, the good thing is with that girder there, we can still see the penalty box. We see everything we need.
That's what I was just about to say. Yes, there is a beam that goes across, because, yes, the building still has to stay standing, but we have a view of the entire ice to the penalty box and the timekeeper's bench. The only thing we're missing is really the stands on the other side, but we're not here to look at the fans. We're here to look at the game and describe it for the fans listening.
Yeah, I don't get to see my Aunt Joanne, who sits down in that corner, because that beam knocks her out of the vision.
On the question, and listen, I could talk to you all day, and I'm sure Paul could add in some colorful stories about times with Don Cameron as well over the years. Don Cameron Potato Night, mark it down as a day in support of the House of Friendship. It's coming up on March the 3rd, but I do believe the tradition that is Don Cameron Potato Night has happened for the final time, which was last year. I do not believe there will be an official Potato Night this year, but there will be a game coming up. It will be March the 3rd, which is 2 weeks today, actually, versus Kingston, where the partner for that day will be the House of Friendship, which is always the beneficiary of the potatoes that were collected. But as I understand it, there won't be potatoes this year. There will just be some support for the House of Friendship and the great work that they do in our community. And I get it. Like, fans like that tradition, and it's sad to see things go. But after what? It started in 96. So after more than quarter century, it might be time to move on to doing something else.
So if that can be changed, Mike, maybe we can get the three stars changed to just player of the game.
There you go. Let's make that our mission moving forward, Fixie. We've got the fixes in. That is now set and established on our pregame show every night, but we will work on getting the three stars changed to a player of the game, and we'll be happy to have the Better Business Bureau stay on board as a sponsor for it. We got no problem with that, but enough with the three stars after almost a century of doing it. All right, that's going to do it for us here at the Memorial Auditorium this afternoon. Hey, it is a family day long weekend, so please do join us from Peterborough tomorrow. That's almost like family. You'll remember this, Paul. The Kitchener Canucks were the Peterborough Petes. They were here for a year before the Rangers came along in 63. They moved to Peterborough, became the Petes. So those two teams have a little bit of history together.
And we're going to see a 5-3 win tomorrow,
according to Eddie.
So the Kitchener Rangers will beat the old Kitchener Canucks 5-3.
The Rangers looking for a fourth consecutive victory. Paul and I will be on the air with pregame coverage starting at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. Kitchener, a 6-1 winner here on home ice this afternoon, thanks to two goals from Carson Rakoff. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixner, and our producer, Jordan Malcolm, my name is Mike Farwell. We bid you a very good Sunday afternoon from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.